This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! Put them hands up. Yeah, put them hands up.
I'm back. Beginning of the week. Let's get it.
Be free. Life in the hearts of men. Just breathe. Speak, be heard for yours and just leave. Gotta break walls of silence. Heal more straight from violence. No more police sirens. We run the lions. Cops sense.
Just gotta make your head bob, right?
Separation. Rise up from hatred.
Unite the nation. Amazing.
Amazing. We live for days of no crime. We need more scholars, deep minds. Feeling more leaders shining. Plus more father figures, less time in.
Yep.
It's so real, it's coherent.
Yep.
No free for comfort, it's so weird.
All right, here we go. Chorus time.
So yeah, love more people, it's funny, more kids.
What's up, my people? The people of one of your favorite podcasts out here on the Yak. That's how we do. That's how we get it started off.
Peace to the soldiers abroad. We salute.
Crown and the MOB. Love my people. You know who I love? I love my entire audience. I love everybody who is taking their time out today. I don't know where you are, man. Maybe you're on the treadmill. Maybe you're in the gym. Maybe you're around the house. Maybe you're just jogging. You know, I don't know where you listen to me. I don't know where you consume me at. Maybe you're just on the toilet. I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep it real. Keep it real. Sometimes you start thinking about, like, where is somebody sending you a text message from? Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? Like, more than likely, you don't want to know. So maybe I really don't want to know where you're consuming this. But as long as you're consuming, as long as you're listening, and as long as you're enjoying it, all I can say is thank you. I'm going to do my best. And welcome back. Welcome back to your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast. And I am your drunk uncle, Mr. Anwar Richardson. So good to be back, man. It is. I'm recording this on a Monday morning. Actually, it's almost Monday afternoon. I'm recording this on a Monday morning, January 28th, 2019. Just for all those who want to have a reference. And man, it is a beautiful day out right now. It was a nice weekend, just good weather the entire weekend, man. And I'm excited, man. Listen, the guinea pigs are here. They're chilling right now. The Shih Tzu's over there somewhere. You know, the guinea pigs are just chilling right now. They'll get rowdy, though. They'll get rowdy. When they start getting into the show, they'll start making the noise and their presence felt. And that's okay. That's okay. It's part of the ambiance. It's part of what we do here in the Drunk Uncle. I hope you had a good weekend, man. And ladies, women. Need some more ladies to follow me, though. I mean, the fellas are good. You know, I got some good female followers on Twitter, though. Some really attractive ones, too. I'm kind of feel like, you know, all right. And some of them, I'm not going to tell you who, but some of them actually, they have, like, notifications. So when I tweet out, they respond immediately. So shout out to my female listeners. I am your poor man's Idris Elba. And I will do my best. I'm just saying, start small, you know, set realistic goals. Can't get with Adiris. Well, okay, you really can't get with me because my wife is, woo! Yeah, we're not going to do that. We're not going down that road. But listen, man, what was your weekend like? What did you do? Clearly you can't respond, so I'll have to tell you what my weekend was like. I had a good, really good weekend. It's one of the reasons why I'm in a really good mood. So a couple of things that I did. And one of the stories I'm going to tell you is really going to lead into some of the things I want to talk about from a Texas football perspective. So don't fast forward. Stay with me. So I got some interesting stuff I want to talk to you guys about. So this weekend, you know, I have an older son from my first marriage, Maximus. You guys will hear me talk about Maximus a lot. I love myself some Maximus. That is my dude. That's my ace. That's my dude right there. And you know, when I got married again, second marriage, and I or eighth. I don't know. I don't even know. I'm lost count. But anyway, when I got married last year, which, by the way, I am coming up on a 1 year mark. This upcoming weekend will be 1 year of marriage for myself. So, clap it up for me. Woo, boy, month 4 or 5, I was like, oh, shit, we in trouble. Oh, by the way, I do curse on my podcast. Sorry I didn't give you the pre-warning. I usually do, but we're so far in. It just is what it is. I guess you figured it out, and you're just going to have to explain to your child what the meaning of shit means, which they probably already know because my kids say stuff, and I'm just like, okay, I just have to let it go. So coming up in 1 year, we're going to celebrate this weekend. She wants to go. Oh, she's just such a woman, man. She wants to go back to some of the places that we first, well, some of our first dates. So she wants to go to, one of the places that we first went to. I think it was like, I don't know the name of it, but you guys know that place off of 360, where the bridge is, and there's, you know, you can go up and climb up those rocks. I know you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know the name of that spot by the 360 bridge, right? And maybe just called spot by the 360 bridge, but that was like one of our first dates where we actually met for the first time. We actually met at Cover 3. We met online, by the way. I mean, who meets in person? Like, what is that? That's so weird. We actually went out to Cover 3. We just had a couple of drinks because, you know, when you're dating, you start to date people, like you just want to have drinks, right? Listen, for you single people out there. Let me explain something to you. Pimp game 101. If you don't understand this, let me explain it. If you have children who are about to be teenagers, or you have people in their 20s, you need to explain them onwards pimping philosophy right now. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be for free. You got to always go out for drinks, man. Don't go out for dinner, because you go out for dinner, you just get yourself sucked in to an entire night. And if it sucks, you just know you drop like 100. Just off the top. For somebody you may never see again. But drinks are good. Because drinks, if you meet for drinks, then all of a sudden, if the date isn't going well, I mean, you do one drink, you do two drinks, you're out, right? You know, and then you gotta go, and it's all good. You haven't really invested a whole lot. See, you put them on that kind of plan, they have to work their way up. But some of you guys, you want to come out there like out the gate strong. Like, oh man, I'm gonna make reservations. And you can't do that for the first date. And really, honestly, set the standard kind of low and then work your way up. Because you come out the gate strong and you come out the gate with your True Lux or your Eddie V's or your Vince Young's. You come out that at the gate. Where the hell you go from there? You can't take her to Eddie V's on date one and then by like date four, you're trying to take her to Pete Terry's. Oh, hell no. She's not going to appreciate that. So I'm just telling you, pick game 101. Set the expectations. Don't buy her a dozen roses. Don't buy her a dozen roses on the early beginning. Get her one. Make her earn the other 11. Tell her, that's what I'm talking about. It's a plan. It's a relationship plan. This was where I wasn't really planning on going, but I'm going to go here since we're here because the spirit is moving me, and I feel like I'm ministering to somebody right now. Somebody needs to hear this word from Anwar right now. You need to start off slow and work your way up. So my first date with her, we went out to Cover 3, had a couple of drinks, and I was happy. I was like, she looks like, because I was dating before, man, and some of these girls, man, filters are a mofo. I mean, filters will screw you up, man, as a single guy right now, because you don't know what you're seeing. I'm going to tell you how to weed that out. I'm going to give you one of my pimp games things. All right, fellas, if you are about to go to meet someone on a date and you've seen her pictures, or you've seen her pictures online, you've seen them on Tinder or Bumble or whatever she's on, right? Maybe you've seen some of her Instagram pictures, this and that. But she's noticed, like, she's got the superest, clearest complexion of all time, right? Okay, she's using filters. Okay, so this is what you do. Pimp game, I'm schooling somebody today. Before you get together, you ask her, you know what? You got time to FaceTime real quick? Because now you can't put filters on FaceTime, guys. You can't put filters on that. So whatever, if you don't have an Apple product, whatever you can do to like see someone, right? Maybe you have like a Facebook Messenger type of app, whatever. I'm schooling. So, and then you, now all of a sudden,
you get to see what she looks like. Because brothers, and I'm going to include all this, all the white people, we're all brothers, we're all in this fraternity right here. We don't have filters like that. We don't hide things like that. I mean, that's not what we really do. You know, we may have like bald spots or this and that, but we're not really hiding. There's not a filter for that. So I'm just telling you, another pink game. Try to make sure you see her face. So it's a couple of things that you guys have learned. Young guys, especially, I know I have young listeners, right? I'm telling you, what I have told you is going to save you money, is going to save you time, is going to save you some heartache. That is what you do. And third, this is my third free tip. Third free tip. Closed mouths don't get fed. Closed mouths don't get fed. In other words, don't be scared to say what you're looking for, what you want, all that type of stuff. Gotta always remember, guys, are you trying a wife or are you trying to knight her? You got to know the difference. All right, let me just get off of that. Because I can stay on this for a while. I'll give you a pimp episode one day. I'll give you a pimp episode and just explain pimping one-on-one to you. And I can tell you how your man Anwar, I mean, he had a good time. Like, he had a really good time. You know what I'm saying? I got some game. I got some things for you. I'm going to give you guys in the future my pimping techniques, pimping advice. You could call it dating advice, whatever it is. But always know, man, it's just no matter what, I don't care what you look like, just have confidence. Last thing I want to say, just have confidence. This is the bonus one. Have confidence, man. You can pull people nines and tens if you just got the confidence. If you walk around thinking you're a 9 or 10, she's gonna look at your ass like, well, how the hell does he think he's up on my plateau? He must think he's something. Yes, you do think you're something because you are something, because you are you and you are special, you're unique, and no one else out there in this world is like you. So you walk around with confidence like you are the man and you are the shit because you are the shit. And if no one's gonna tell you the shit, your main man, Anwar, is gonna tell you the shit. All right, let's move on. So this weekend, I'm going to transition into what I really want to transition. So I did a couple things. I went out with my son. Blended family. This is where I really started, right? Blended family. And, you know, we have joint custody. I have joint custody with my ex-wife. And I always felt like, oh, by the way, I'm really good at retention. I'm really good at acquisition. I'm not great at retention as I talk about my ex-wife, right? So I always want to make sure I do special things with him. So like once every couple of months, just to make sure we get some one-on-one time, like we go and do something. So we spent the night, we'll go with like a hotel and have, you know, just go out to eat and things to that effect. And we did that on Saturday night. It's just because, got to think, like he's before we had a blended family, he never had to share me. It was always just him and I. And so you get married. And so he's here one day, he's here two days, the next he's five. This is my joint custody agreement. And so 2-5, 2-5. And so there's times where he just doesn't see me for 5 straight days. So it's really important that he just gets that one-on-one time. So we did that, right? But here's the interesting thing. And I will totally transition to some sports stuff, right? And I have a lot of more fun stuff that I did over the weekend. Really would love to share it. I sometimes worry if you guys get bogged down with the personal stories or not. And I just don't want anybody... thinking like, damn, this guy is really talking about personal stories. But then again, if you're listening to my podcast, you already know what you're here for, right? So then again, why am I guarding myself? You know what you're here for. You know what you signed up for. You know if you want to go X's and O's, you go over to Alex. Well, of course, Alex got some rants too. Alex could get epic with his rants. You know you want to do his recruiting. You know Jay's going to got you on the recruiting stuff. You know Ketch will give you a topic, and he'll talk about for about 45 minutes. That's what Ketch does. And this is what I do. Just random thoughts that come from my mind because I'm your drunk uncle. Your drunk uncle just says what comes to his mind. That's what makes your drunk uncle so special, because your drunk uncle is random. He's somewhat funny. He's definitely entertaining. He's educational. But at the end of the day, you say, man, that drunk uncle was all right. I had a good time. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to have a good time for you. So me and we did a hotel. But in the morning time, I was invited to a birthday party. I don't know if you guys know who Dr. Sutton is from UT. But he's one of the people, him and Dr. Moore, Leonard Moore, they're, you know, in charge of, you know, a lot of things like the African-American studies and over at UT. And Dr. Moore is one of my friends. And... which, by the way, I'm just calling him Dr. Moore for the podcast sake. I mean, I just called the dude by his first name. I mean, I just don't know why, if you're a doctor of some sorts, why now you don't have a first name. I just don't understand why you don't have a first name. Your mama don't call you doctor.
Your daddy don't call your doctor. Brother and sister don't call your doctor. Why I gotta call your doctor? Anyway, so we go to a party. I go to the birthday party of him and his wife, beautiful wife that they have a one-year-old daughter. So it was over at like the Hat Creek. Hat Creek at the Domain. Didn't even know Hat Creek served pancakes. Did not know. And really good pancakes. I must say, I did not know. Now, if I go to Hat Creek, usually I go to 1 over 360 because you take the kids and, you know, let them play around there. And, you know, I like that one. I'm definitely down with that one, especially as a guy who lives in Cedar Park. I don't get a chance to go there that often. But if I am going to go, they have a big playground. So they had the birthday party there. Not a lot of guys there. You know how these things go. You know, especially this is a women event. Guys, we're just standing on there trying to make friends. It's kind of awkward, you know. But so started talking to a couple of dudes. And one guy came in and, you know, Ryan, I won't call him what his real name is. You call him Dr. Sutton. Ryan introduced me to somebody. And it is like, Anwar, Orange Bloods, right? And I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. He's like, man, I know you are. I follow you. You do good work, man. I, you know, love the stories you break, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool, that's what's up, man. Thank you. Appreciate you saying the kind words. And so we started talking. He's, you know, really into UT, you know, very well, well versed, right? So, just drinking water today. Just drinking water right now. I got my wife wants me to work out with her this afternoon, and I'm trying not to drink before the workout because I think that's somewhat counterproductive. Maybe it's not. If someone shows me the research that says it's really helpful, I will totally go into all my workouts pretty smashed. So anyway, I'm just joking. So this guy starts talking to me, and every once in a while, when I'm out. Doesn't happen as often as it used to. But what happens is people start talking to me about UT. And then somehow the subject of Charlie Strong comes up. And then in that conversation, they'll start to tell me about, Charlie didn't win. But, you know, man, you know, this new guy came in here. And like, they gave him everything. You know, they gave him the new locker rooms. And he's got all this little technology. And then, you know, they're going to do the stadium. And, you know, stadium's recent. But they'll talk about, like, the new locker rooms and, you know, all the little new things that he did in year one. It's like, man, Charlie never really got that stuff. And Charlie just never had that opportunity. And, you know, it's just kind of messed up. And I will tell you this. Whenever I've heard that argument, it happens. And whenever I've heard that argument, I want to say it's an argument, because arguments mean that two people can go back and forth. Whenever someone gives me that point of view, there you go. I always hit them with one thing, one line, and it shuts it down. One line. And the party's over. I mean, like, one line, and it's a wrap. And you know what I always say? Dog, he lost to Kansas. And then when you say that, it just negates anything else that they can say past that. It happened. And again, it happened to me on Saturday. This happens to me. And I said, dude, if Charlie beats Kansas, I mean, he's probably still here as a coach. Now, you know, maybe he doesn't win the following year. So it's all subjective at that point. But, or speculative is a better word. But, I mean, so when I hear that, and he's like, yeah, you're right. I was like, you can't lose to the worst program in the freaking country and expect to keep your job. You just can't. It is no need. I get it. I get where you're coming from. I get what you're trying to do. I get what you're trying to set up. I get what you want to say in your mind. And honestly, I get why you want to try to figure out a way to explain how and why Charlie failed at UT. But no matter what, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a woman or a man, if you're black or you're white. There's just no way to justify it. And then here's the creme de la creme. He's going to the University of South Florida, my alma mater. And he's trying to run that damn program into the ground. And we ain't never had much. And he's going to take away what little we had. I'm not going to get frustrated today. I got to work out today. Got an anniversary coming up this weekend. Wife wants to go to all the places we went on our dates, you know. So I was talking about the 360 bridge. I guess she wants to go to a cover three. She wants to go to one of the places we first ate, one of the nicer restaurants I took her out at and stuff like that. And I'm just like, okay. And because it's year one's kind of special, right? You know, so I'll go along with it. And it just, this whole thing just brings me back to, and not my marriage, but this entire conversation, it just brings me to what I was thinking about today. And if I had a subject for this whole thing of today, I just call it, the title of my podcast is simply, or the title of my sermon, I See You, Tom Herman. I see you, Tom Herman. I see you, Tom Herman. When people say, just so you know, like when people say in that vernacular, you know, in urban culture, when you say, I see you, dog, I see you, it's a compliment. It means I see that you're doing good things. It means like I recognize that you're hot. I recognize that you're the man, or you recognize that you're the woman. So you go up to your someone's doing something good, and you're like, hey, is that what you're working on? Yeah, that's what I'm working on. Okay, I see you. Okay. It's like that. So why I say it, man, I see you, Tom Herman, I mean, I see you. Tom Herman, I see you. In fact, Tom Herman is making it to the point where you can't ignore him. And I think Tom Herman is getting this program to a point where I don't think he can or will be ignored. I don't think the University of Texas is going to be overlooked much longer. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. I'm not going to make any bold predictions. It's January. It's too early. It's too early to pour the Kool-Aid. But let me give you a little sip. Just a little sip, a little taste of that blue magic. And so you'll come back. I did watch American Gangster over the weekend, one of my more favorite movies. I don't know if it's the best Denzel movie, but it's a pretty good one. He's had a lot of good ones. I also saw Glory not too long ago. That was a pretty good one. There was another one of his. I mean, Training Day. There's a ton of his, but I did watch Glory the other day, and I had my wife watch Crimson Tide recently, and she was really engaged in that. You know, my wife, she acts like I can't turn her on to like good movies, like good, especially action stuff. I know what I'm doing, and I can see Tom Herman because he knows what the hell he's doing. The whole thing with Brew McCoy is just amazing. It's boss on so many levels. It's killer on so many levels. Let's start, right? So I said this in my Sunday pulpit, and it was just a line. I'm not repeating anything in my Sunday pulpit. I'm not going to go back and forth or anything like that. There's not a ton of crossover all the time. Clearly, we know the people, the olds on the board, they're not listening to our podcast, but we're trying to appeal to a new demographic. They probably still get newspapers delivered, so it's okay. If you do get a newspaper delivered and you listen to this, you are just killing the game. That's all I can say. Like you are in touch with your old self and your young self. Like you are my idol. You're the person who's playing records, but of like current stuff. Like that's how good you are. Brew McCoy got lied to. And lying happens in recruiting. We all know. Lying happens in recruiting. We all accept lying in recruiting. But the Brew McCoy one was a little bit more egregious. The Brew McCoy one really sucked because he receives, and Jason Sukumel tells the story. So I'm basing this off of what Jason told me, and Jason's pretty damn good at what he does. So I get it. You know, Brew was led to believe that he would be playing for Cliff Kingsbury. He just was led to believe that. And that didn't happen. And in fact, what we're told and what Jason is told is that he found out that Cliff Kingsbury wasn't going to be there on the way to USC. On the way there, you find out that your OC is taking another job. And now you're driving there, trying to figure out what you're going to do. And really, you know, from what I've just heard,
I don't want to put too many things into the young man's word, and I don't want people from USC to get pissed off and contact me and say, that's BS and da-da-da-da-da. But I can just tell this. Brew didn't like what he saw at USC. He just did not like it. Brew is a very, he comes from an amazing program, a lot of structure, a lot of discipline. And when Brew was around, he was like, this is not me. This is not me. This is not who I am. This is too lax. There's not enough structure. There's not enough organization here. I'm just not comfortable here. And Brew did what I give him props for and his fandom props for. They got the hell out of Dodge. I mean, they got the hell out of Dodge and figured out very quickly how to get their asses down to Austin. And we're going to see what happens. We're going to see if Brew gets a waiver. My gut tells me he will get a waiver. I just don't think the NCAA wants to just have another round of blowback of another kid lied to by a coach. I just don't see the benefit. I don't see the win. I see the NCAA saying, you know what? Let's just let this thing go. Let this guy go. Let's just move on with our life because we don't need those problems. We just don't need any more negative headlines. We made this transfer portal so guys can do whatever they want. Everyone stops bitching. Transfer. Do what you want to do. We're not going to pay you. Go to different schools. In fact, how about this? You just transfer, and we'll put this portal up at your conference. They can decide what the rules are. We don't want any parts of it. Just do you. And so Brew is like, I'm out. And so you really go from one day Brew McCoy's in the transfer portal to another day that Brew McCoy has signed a financial aid agreement and he's coming to Austin. And then the next day, you know, Brian Carrington is out there with a sign and Brew is coming to Austin. And here he is. And here Brew is here. And that's why I say, man, I see you because here's the thing that will get lost in it, is that Tom Herman and his staff did such a good job of recruiting Brew and left such a great impression about Brew to Brew and his family that when they got there, especially Brew, and saw what that life was about, they said, no. We know the grass is green on the other side. We've been there. We've been to the promised land. And trust me, this is not the promised land. This is some outer limits type stuff. This is not the best neighbor. This ain't it. This is USC, but this ain't USC. This ain't the USC that y'all grew up with. And it just speaks to the kind of job that the staff was able to do. And I mean, let's start giving some props. So first of all, when we start talking about recruiting, you got to start up with the J kid of the program, Jason Kidd, and that's Brian Carrington. I mean, he's the setup guy. He's the guy that's going to give you the assist. He's that guy that's going to put it off the backboard. He's the guy that sets up everybody so they can be successful. And then all he's doing is throwing them lobs, and then all these guys got to do is dunk it or make the open shot. So the recruiting, when you start talking about University of Texas and the success that they have, starts with J kid, Brian Carrington. And then you work your way down. In this instance, is it time for Drew Maringer to get some damn respect? I mean, he's a guy. Say what you want to say. And there's been a lot of stuff that's been said. And people have questioned Drew. Or even questioned the hire of him. Coming from that program, right? Next thing you know, Rutgers. Next thing you know, they're getting bosses, man. He's getting some bosses. You can't. Little Jordan Humphrey wasn't little Jordan Humphrey until last season. Colin Johnson wasn't Colin Johnson until last season. There's been a wanted poster. We've been looking for Devin Duvernay. Didn't really see him until last season. Those guys have been coached up by somebody. Somebody's coaching those guys up. And apparently, I think I can figure it out. DM. And I ain't talking about where you can hit me up. I'm talking about the guy who's hitting them up on the practice field, Drew Maringer. He's doing the damn thing. And he's also starting to do the damn thing in recruiting. And he's one of the guys who is up in the booth with Tom Herman. He's a guy who quietly is starting to make a name for himself in the college circles. He's a guy, don't be surprised, if I had to make predictions, you start hearing more about him next season as a potential OC candidate. Just keep that on your heart, because right now you can't pull the best receiver in the country and not get props for that. I mean, he had to feel pretty good and comfortable, and your name had to carry some weight when he came to on campus and talked to these guys. Because guys will tell you. You know, coaches will tell you anything, right? Players will keep it real. And players keep it real on official visits, because players go and hang out with recruits. Recruits ask questions. And they'll tell you, man, you don't want to come here, man. Nah, man, this guy, he ain't shit. I'm trying to tell you. What are your other options? Yeah, you should think about that. Or they'll tell you, hey, this is a great place to be. Guy's working. We're about to turn this program around. You want to be a part of it. I mean, it says a lot about Drew. It also says something about Tom Herman, right? Because at the end of the day, people got to want to feel, they got to feel comfortable with him. They've got to feel, that they can trust him. I mean, it says a lot. It says a lot, man. It says a lot. When I say, I see you, Tom Herman, I see you, Tom Herman. I see you from a mile away, buddy. Because here's a guy, when he came in, people said, do you got any ace recruiters on the staff? All they're doing is putting together top 10, number 3 class, okay? Ahead of Oklahoma and A&M. I know you like that if you're a Texas fan. I know if you was an OU fan on here lurking or an A&M fan, you just threw another middle finger or put another needle in that voodoo doll that you got of me. But that's okay. My mama prays for me all the time. That's why I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. Part of recruiting is also going to come down to the head coach, because the head coach has got to sit in the living room, and the head coach has got to sell the program. The head coach has got to sell the vision. And when I say I see you, Tom Herman, I know people questioned it. I know people questioned if Tom Herman was a guy that had an ace recruiter. I know people questioned if Tom Herman was a guy that could relate to players. Can he get along with his players? Is he too hard? Is he too this or is he too that? Is he too much of this? And you heard all those negative stories. And one of the guys who kept telling you, especially during the Texas Bowl practice a couple of years ago, I kept telling you, there's a change. Things are changing. And Tom Herman, there was a change. Now, people didn't recognize that change, and they didn't even acknowledge the change until like August of the following year, like 8 months later. They all went, oh, well, things have changed within the program. I told you that in December. That's why you got to be on Orange Buds. That's why we got to trust your man and trust his reporting, too. And Tom Herman is doing the damn thing as far as recruiting is concerned. He's doing the damn thing as far as winning over his players is concerned. Like, look, you're always going to have guys who are going to transfer and feel like, I'm not getting playing time. And you're going to have that will never end. But you can't land a class like this. You can't land a number 3 class in the country. I mean, talking about number 3. We're talking about just a couple of notches below an Alabama. You can't pull that off and be a total asshole. No, you can't do that. I mean, you just can't, because the kids would sabotage you. The kids on campus would not allow it to happen. You can say, no, what, they didn't want to win. No. This is a young generation. They care about themselves. And the fact that they're willing to sell the program, it says a lot about Coach Herman and what he's been able to accomplish since he's been here. And right now, I'm telling you guys, it's early. I'm not going to go too crazy. But when I'm looking at this recruiting class and I'm looking at the talent that they have coming back, I really am starting to say, uh-oh, this could be a very interesting year. I mean, this could shape up to be really, really interesting. You say, what do you mean interesting? It is my hedging. And I don't mean interesting in a bad way. But this should be another one of those years where Texas is competing for a Big 12 championship. And this is going to be a year Texas gets past LSU in week two. I think we're talking CFP conversation, you know, probably up until the Oklahoma game. And I'm just, guys, when I'm starting to look at this talent, first and foremost, Sam Ehlinger, we'll debate it. We'll have plenty of time to debate who's better, Sam or Jalen Hurts. But I like Sam. I like everything he's been able to accomplish. I like the talent that they have around him on offense. I like it. I'm telling you, I like the Colin Johnson. I like whoever else they're going to throw out there on the other side. I like that they have Keontae Ingram in the background, but they also have Jordan Whittington, who's going to be getting some touches. I like what I'm seeing from there. I like that they're going to have Reese Lato at tight end. And we'll see who else they throw in there. And look, I mean, the offense should be nice. I'm talking the offense should be nice. And that's, you know, that I think this is an offense that Casey Thompson won't, at the end of the year, have to worry about. There was too many close games, and that's why I couldn't get any playing time. I think this is an offense that has the potential to put up points and impress voters. I think this is I think this is the kind of offense that has the potential to put on a show. And here's the one thing I feel like I know about Tom Herman, because Tom Herman's a nice guy. Tom is a good dude. I tell you, and I'm telling you this stuff. Don't believe all that stuff that you just see on the podium. Like that, you think about how you are in public versus how you are at your house, right? I mean, how I am, I'm a bad example because I'm me no matter where I go. I'll just be honest with you. I change it in myself. You know, go to church, you know, change it a little bit here and there. But, I mean, so what you see is from you know, his media interviews, that's one thing. But, you know, I've shown you, I'm giving you examples of the, you know, the Shane Buechele and what he's done for that young man and trying to do everything in his power to make sure he's set up for his grad transfer and helping him out as much as possible. And I've told you about the John Bonney where he could have blocked him, but didn't try to put any restrictions on a Mike Williams. And I mean, that Tom Herman, it's an interesting thing. And because I think all these personas live within him, right? I believe that Tom Herman can be a hard ass if he needs to be, if he feels like it's justified. I feel like Tom Herman could be a nice guy if he feels like a person has earned it, right? And then, you know, I feel like Tom Herman could be an ass if you try him the wrong way. And I think that's fine and that's fair. Like, at least you probably know where you stand with the guy. I mean, wouldn't we all want to know that? And that clearly the team has gravitated towards that. And I just look at the talent that he has assembled. And I said all that when I started talking about his personality, because I started wondering, like, well, where the hell are you going with all that? When I talked about impressing voters, I think Tom Herman has got the personality to say, man, look, if we need to score 50 in order to move up a couple of spots, well, damn it. We're going to go Steve Spurrier on that ass and score the points, and we're going to break the scoreboard and break that and get a running clock if need be. There's no running clock in college football, but you get what I'm saying. I look at the defense, and it's interesting. Charles Omenihu, by the way, props to you. Really good Senior Bowl week. Chris Boyd, ouch. This is going to have to get it right. You know, but you're losing on the defensive line. You know, there's no Omenihu, there's no Chris Nelson, there's no Brecken Hager. And one of the things I had in a war room several weeks ago, like people in the building told me, man, like, look onward. Keandre Coburn, Morrow, how do you say his name? Ajamo, I'm going to say, hopefully, I'm just going to go with that until I'm told something different. High hopes for those guys. Just really believe, happy about him. Malcolm Roach, very excited about. Questions about at linebacker, for sure. But there's enough DBs back there. Oh, two. Cancel Christmas. There's a lot of DBs back there. You just start with Caden Stearns and Brandon Jones and then just work your way up. There's too much talent that is there. There's too many guys that were talented freshmen that are probably going to contribute. You know, it's interesting. People talk about, well, Oklahoma, they got some really good receivers. Now, Texas has really good receivers, but the only difference is, yeah, Oklahoma's got some good receivers, but Texas has got some really good defensive backs. And they've got some defensive backs who might end up being better than the guys who played this past season. Just going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. And that's why I say, I see you, Tom Herman. I see the team that you formed. I see you, Tom Herman. I see what you inherited. I see how you laid the foundation. I see what year one was all about. And now that I see year two, and now I'm seeing your recruiting and the guys that you're bringing in, the talent influx that is coming into Austin, where you're saying, man, this team could be good for a while with all the talent, even if guys leave and even if guys decide, I'm going to go into the portal and I don't want to be a part of the program, so I'm going to transfer portal and be one of 1,000 people going to be in this damn transfer portal and then end up at some lower level school, because you don't see people transferring up, by the way, in this transfer portal. You see a lot of people transferring down, even if all goes well. But the guy from Valdosta State who goes in the transfer portal is not going to Bama. Sorry. Anyway, I see the talent that he's putting together. And even if you lose guys, there's still enough talent that he is assembling where you say they should still be successful and still be okay and still be able to put up wins. It's almost like he had to push that boulder uphill. And now it's starting to go downhill. It's not to say, by the way, that it's getting easy or it's now everything's really easy for Tom Herman, right? No. Every year is a different year, and every year is going to present different challenges. So let's not say that. I'm not going to get crazy with it. But what I can say, is he's got it going. He's got this thing moving in the right direction. And you got to like where it's going. And I start seeing national guys, Will Cain, he's a Texas fan. But when I start seeing guys tweeting out about Tom Herman and Colin Cowherd, for instance, talking about how that's a better, Texas is a better program than USC because Tom Herman's done a better job of developing. Like, that's people paying attention. That's catching the eyes of the average person, not just the diehard fan. I see you, Tom Herman. I see what you're doing. I see the program that you're putting together. I see how you've got this thing going, like how you've got this thing moving. And I see why there should be some really good expectations that are put on the program this upcoming year. I understand, Tom Herman, that you're not going to put it out there and you're not going to put down a win total or anything like that. And some people are going to ask you somebody's going to ask you some question about, well, yeah, where you feel the talent level's at? And he's not going to give an answer. And then people are going to blow it out the water. I get that, all that. But you don't have to say something for it to be true. We can see it for ourselves, right? You can see it for ourselves. You don't have to admit something for it to be true. I always said this. I've done this in journalism for years. Sometimes a no comment speaks more than a comment itself. You don't have to admit something for it to be true. If I go up to you and I say, hey, man, did you touch that little boy in his private parts? And your answer to me is no comment. Well, damn it. Hey, babe, did you go and sleep with the neighbor's wife while I was away for the weekend? No comment. I can't talk about that. Okay, so just because Tom Herman may not give you a comment, It doesn't matter. You know what you see. You know what I'm saying? And what you see is a guy who's putting it together, man. I see what this Brew McCoy thing. And now we're talking about, you still got a couple of weeks left before the next signing day and what could be bought in talent-wise. And he's going to stack this talent here in Austin with, by the way, a quarterback who should be in the conversation. May not be in the running, but at least will be in the conversation for the Heisman this upcoming season and beyond. I see you, Tom Herman. I see what you've done, man. And it's pretty damn good. And consider your drunk uncle pretty damn impressed. All right, guys, ladies, that's it for me. You guys have a fantastic, fantastic week. That's the next episode. I'm going to talk NFL stuff, man. I'm going to take you back. With the Super Bowl coming up, it's a perfect time for me to go into some NFL stories. So many things as an NFL writer. I'm going to really spend the next couple of days jotting down some of the best things that I've seen. I'm telling you, I will write a fiction book that will be loosely based off of some of my experiences at some point. If you know a good literary agent or something like that, hook your man up. Email me. You know my email. You know how to reach me. It's underneath my sig line. But if you're not on Orange Bloods and you know you're stealing, you know you can just get, ask someone for my email address. It's real easy. I'm real easy to find. Trust me, I'm not hard. I stand out clearly when I go to birthday parties and people want to talk to me about Charlie Strong, and I just have to remind them he lost to Kansas. Can we just fucking turn the page? And I did drop the F-bomb. Until we talk later this week, stay blessed. As I just dropped the F-bomb a little bit ago. It's okay. What I always say, guys, not through with me yet. I will talk to you soon. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.